Right now it's time for our weekly conversation with Brian Ross, Real News. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning. And once again, it may be a Thursday morning, it may be a different Thursday morning, but we have to lead and talk about basically the same thing, Brian.
Oh my goodness, can't believe it again and again and again. Let's hope there's some prospect of change coming in Washington. You know, this group of 10 senators, 5 Democrats, 5 Republicans, they say they're making some progress on a potential bill that could pick up 60 votes aimed at ending gun violence. It may not be everything everybody wants, but there is some talk of progress.
When you need that first step, and you need something to move forward. I've been saying all along to people, this is not a one vote thing. I mean, this is going to be have to. This should have been done years ago, step by step by step by step, because now it's just so glaring. It's just so glaring that it's copycat. There's a lot of people out there that have a lot of problems, and in a society like we live, things like this are going to happen unless we really, really, really try to get at the root of why it all happens.
And, you know, what is the root? Yeah. Some say it's just because there are so many guns. That is certainly true. And then, you know, it's a uniquely and very sadly American issue. You don't see it anywhere else.
You know, there's the availability of guns. There's mental health. The list goes on. But you've got to start somewhere. So even if it's just a very tiny step, I just hope that these ten senators can get at least the ball rolling, even if it's just for a short little while. Just get the ball rolling, because it can't continue. It just can't continue unabated without some action by our government.
And frankly, for the for lawmakers, if Americans have any trust in them that they can actually do their job, this is needed by the institution of Congress. Frankly,
yep.
Otherwise, like, what are they there for?
Yep, it's true. And I will. The Queen is not going to enter the stadium like she did 10 years ago with James Bond. But you know, whether you like the monarchy or not, the woman has been queen for 70 years. Just imagine the leaders of the world that passed before her in the past 70 years.
That is true. She has seen a lot in her era. I think one of the big questions for me is, does this mean now she's ready to step down? Is there going to be a king?
We know one person wants that to happen. Yeah. He's been hanging on, waiting and waiting and waiting.
He's been waiting. And, you know, at some point, how old is too old? I think it's a question, you know, that they're asking about the monarchy, and maybe we should be asking about our elected leaders, too.
You know, it's a true thing. I mean, I sit here at 69 years of age, and I know I enjoy doing my job, and I love doing my job. I can't do my job like I did 10 years ago. I can tell you that right now. I just can't. You know, 69 is not 59. Like, you know, and there's very little difference between 49 and 59. But when you start getting up into those, you're 69 years old, or you've been in the job for 70 years. You know, it's time. It's time for the public here in this country. And you're right. Look at the monarchy, and maybe come up with a different rule, because we can't be led by old people all the time.
Right, and this is not ageism. It's just a question of competence and ability. And as you know, there are questions about some senators and their ability to carry out their jobs, because how old they've become, and age does change people. And on the other hand, we value the wisdom and the experience of people, and someone like you still do your job. I don't think anybody in the audience would know what it is you can't do anymore. It seems like you're doing it very well every day.
It's when you're so public like the Queen. But you know what? God bless her. That's all I'll say. God bless her. She's been through a lot. All right.
Well,
so.
it's a nice show to distract us from the real world issues, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's go to. Oh gosh, I can't believe I'm going to go here. But the verdict, the verdict yesterday.
Are you surprised?
I was surprised at the amount of damages they awarded, not the compensatory damages, the other damages, $10 million, and I think it was $3 million, $10 million in favor of Depp and $3 million in favor against Depp's lawyer. I was surprised at that, but was I surprised at the outcome where Johnny Depp actually fared better, even though it was kind of split out? No, I wasn't surprised at all.
You know, he had a very effective, not only team of lawyers, but a very effective public relations team working, you know, in overdrive to essentially inundate social media with messages that supported him. And, you know, the jury was not sequestered. They were able to look at all this, whatever they looked at when I got home. It's pretty hard to ignore it if you were at all following the news. I do worry whether this has an impact, as Amber Heard said, on the ability of women to come forward and to be believed. I was surprised, frankly, that so many people found her story not to be believable, that she was making things up. That was the finding of the jury. And this has the prospect, I guess, of bankrupting her.
Well, you know, you look at the. I went back and I looked at clips from the original op-ed that she did, and I'll be honest with you. If I was sitting on that jury, I would have voted again. I would have voted with her because I don't think that op-ed was a direct inflammatory, I'm going to ruin your life statement from her towards Johnny Depp. I really don't, but that's my feeling. But it's the trial's over. We'll see what happens. I feel sorry
But you know what's interesting, Marshall, is that in the UK, United Kingdom, when Depp brought pretty much the same lawsuit, and there it's much easier to win a defamation suit than it is. He lost there because a judge heard the evidence and made the decision. Here was a jury, and whatever, you know, they were not as legalistic in their approach, and they came to a different conclusion about what they heard than the judge had in London.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like I said, I was a little surprised, but like I said, just in the amount of the money, because it's an unrealistic amount to think that she's going to come up with $10 million. You know, by her losing was hard enough on her for the rest of her life. Never mind that and $10 million. You know, it's, but that's the way the court system works in this country, for better or for worse. That's the way it works.
That's right. You know, and people can sort of be upset about that. And there were those who were upset about that other court case, which you may have followed as closely, about the Democratic lawyer in Washington who was accused of lying to the FBI on behalf of Hillary Clinton against Donald Trump. Yeah. He was acquitted.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things.
And there we heard about the court system failures from, you know, none other than the Trump family.
And I hate to say this, but you also look at Joe Biden's son. How long was his story pushed aside by mainstream media? And whether or not he's guilty of anything is to be decided. But there are certain biases in this country. There are, and there's biases
yes,
no matter what.
But you know, of course, one of the biases, you know, reporters look at, you know, the source. And the New York Post would not be regarded as a trustworthy source to base an entire story on. And the raw information was not available to other reporters. So if you get into the depths of that, yes, I think what really was what was bad there was that others kept the Post off Facebook and Twitter and did not, you know, kept it from being generally, as it is, you know, spread around. Others didn't pick it up, well, that's just the news business. But that have them shut off, that's not good.
As I say, even a blind squirrel gets nuts sooner or later. And you've seen it. There's been some stories that have been absolutely true in the Post and National Enquirer. I mean, occasionally they come across things that are true, and because they have so little credibility with a lot of people, they're just overlooked. They're just overlooked, and that's too bad. So what do you think? More and more looks like we're in for the long grind in the Ukraine.
Yes, it is. And, you know, we see kind of reports creeping in that, yes, a lot of losses for the Russians, but also the Ukrainians are taking very major hits. And there are some small indications that Russia's making progress. So the decision by President Biden to send these longer-range, you know, highly accurate missiles ups the stakes.
Tick, tick, tick. That's all I can think of. You're right.
Counting on the Ukrainians' pledge, they won't use them to fire into Russia.
Yeah.
You're the Russians. You wonder about that.
You know, I have no problems if the Ukrainians want to go back after Crimea and things like that, or even if attacking staging units on the border of their country where other units are coming in and they're storing ammunition and stuff like that right on the border. But using the missile to strike into Russia would be a harrowing thing to think of.
Well, that would be exactly what Russia would use as a pretense to, you know, expand this war. One they probably can't win, but you know, they continue to sort of shake and, you know, expose that sort of nuclear threat. So none of that is good. None of that is in the direction anybody wants in this world.
All right. Brian, no matter what the topics are, it's always great to speak with you. We'll check with you next weekend.
And to you. Hope the fog lifts and we have a nice weekend.
And I want to remind everybody, the tribute to Ed Kirby is this Saturday at Housatonic Valley Regional High School beginning at 10 o'clock.
Great man.
Great man is right. All right. We'll speak to you next week, Brian.
Okay. Take care.
Brian Ross and Real News here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio. You can find Real News at robinhoodradio.com. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.